Hello and welcome to the Convex Conversation with me, broadcaster Helen Fospero. Amanda Redman is one of the nation's favourite actresses. I loved her in New Tricks with Dennis Waterman, and she's been back on ITV recently in Good Karma Hospital with an emotional storyline which is close to her heart. When Amanda was 18 months old, she suffered 90% burns after pulling a pan of turkey dinner all over her on Boxing Day. She spent those early years in and out of hospital, having painful treatment, and she drew from that terrible experience for the new storyline in Series 3. So rather than me explain, let's talk to Amanda. Amanda, it's fantastic to have you with us. Tell us what you've been up to.
What, during lockdown?
Well, during lockdown and also with Good Karma Hospital.
Oh, well, Good Karma Hospital. Well, the whole storyline with Good Karma Hospital is acid attacks are pretty prevalent in the on the Indian subcontinent and sadly are getting to be so here as well. So I thought it might be a good idea to do a storyline about this. So I approached the writer, Dan Sefton, and I said, look, why don't we do something about an acid attack? I can introduce you to lots of people who deal with burns in this country, because I'm patron of the East Grinstead Hospital, which is a major burns unit. And so they agreed, and that's what we did. And so the writers came down and met various surgeons and burns trauma nurses, and they helped us amazingly. It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, even down to the special effects. Our great makeup guy, David Jones, he was contacting them, showing pictures, saying, does this look right at this stage? You know, would it have changed? And it was very much a sort of collaborative venture, and one I'm very proud of, I have to say.
And am I right in thinking, Amanda, that when you went to visit the burns unit, you went to the burns unit where you yourself were treated?
Yes, I was in the peanut ward, which is the children's ward at East Grinstead. And there we went. And I mean, I visit there quite a lot. But I think for the writers, it was quite an extraordinary experience for them.
And was it quite an emotional experience for you being back there? Or, you know, are you so used to sort of what happened to you so many years ago that it doesn't get you quite the same as perhaps somebody new?
Because I visit the hospital quite a bit, that didn't particularly affect me emotionally. But when we were filming the storyline, there were certain scenes that I did find quite emotional. I think mainly because it was the reaction of the crew. They were very upset. And you just realised, I suppose, that, you know, all the operations that I went through myself, just how painful it was. But of course, I don't remember any of it because I was a baby.
Can you tell us in your words, Amanda, what happened when you were a little girl?
We were at my grandmother's. It was Boxing Day, and I'd been given a rocking duck, one of those little ducks that, you know, rock. And I dragged it into the kitchen where my dad was, and he had his back to the stove, and it was one of those old-fashioned granny stoves that stuck out, you know, it wasn't all part of a unit. And on it was boiling away a huge old-fashioned cauldron, metal cauldron of turkey and vegetable soup. And I got on top of the rocking duck and started singing to my dad, which apparently is something I used to do a lot. Lost my balance and fell, and my hand stuck to the side of the cauldron because it was so hot. And I toppled back with the weight of it and disappeared inside it. So just my feet were sticking out.
Oh my goodness. I mean, obviously dreadful for you, but of course heartbreaking for your parents.
Oh, terrible.
I can't imagine as a mum.
No, me neither.
How distressing and frightening that must have been.
Absolutely. In fact, I mean, I don't remember any of that. So for me, it didn't affect me at all. But for my mum, right up to the time she died, she only had to hear a baby crying in a particular way and she'd go ice cold. And she, you know, she never, ever forgot it.
I saw you talking about it on television recently, and I think you said that you were actually clinically dead at hospital at one point, weren't you?
Yeah, they pronounced me clinically dead. That was, I think, just sort of once the ambulance had taken me straight to the hospital, the local hospital in Brighton, and they pronounced me clinically dead there and then worked on me and I came round.
It's extraordinary. I mean, the work they must have done in the hospital is amazing. Is, you know, you have some scars on your arm. And I love the fact that you never feel the need to hide that. I mean, that's part of who you are, I guess, isn't it?
Well, it is. And because I've grown up with it, I don't know any different. And my parents were great in that they always encouraged me to never be really very aware of it. You know, so they always dressed me as a child in sleeveless dresses and things. So it's just never been an issue with me, really.
So before we talk about some of the things you've starred in, what made you want to become an actress in the first place, and were your parents very supportive with the idea?
Well, weirdly enough, that had a lot to do with my burns, because I was in hospital virtually entirely until I was five. So by the time I was finally let out, I had so much pent-up energy. You know, hospitals were much stricter back then, you know, so you weren't allowed to run around and all the rest of it. And I had loads of pent up energy. And so my parents decided that they should send me to a little Saturday morning ballet class to get rid of some of this energy. So off I went. But as they sort of described me, and I think they were being kind, I was a baby elephant and absolutely impossible. I was very keen and very willing, but had no talent whatsoever. And upstairs, there was a little drama class. And so the teachers suggested that perhaps I might be happier up there, and hoping we'd take the hint. And we did. And up I went. That was it. And I can't remember ever wanting to be anything other than an actor.
That's fantastic, isn't it? And what was your sort of, I hate the word journey really, but what was your journey like becoming an actor? You know, was it a difficult one? Did you get an early good break, or how hard was it?
I was very lucky. I was incredibly lucky. After A-levels, I auditioned and got into Bristol Old Vic Theatre School, which is one of the top drama schools in the world. And I went there, and I was immediately, once I graduated, taken into the Old Vic company and got my equity card, because in those days you couldn't work without getting an equity card. And I got mine immediately. And then I think it was about 16 months after I graduated, I got the co-lead in a movie with Lee Vollmann, who was Ingmar Bergman's muse. And from then, really, that was it. So I was incredibly lucky.
And did you feel addicted right from the word go to the actual acting side of things? Did you just realise that that was who you are and what you wanted to do?
Yes, completely. It's all I was interested in at school. It was all I was... I can't honestly cannot remember being interested in anything else.
And do you remember the feelings on that first film of when you first walked on set? What was that like?
I was terrified. I was so frightened. I was very aware that, you know, Lee Vollmann was this huge star and I didn't know anything. And our director of photography, Freddie Young, was so famous. He'd lit Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago, I mean, a whole whole host of extraordinary things. And he taught me, he was wonderful, and he taught me about cameras. And I didn't have a clue how to act in front of a camera, only on stage. And so he taught me loads, and I loved it.
Now, I've been binge-watching New Tricks. We've talked about the pandemic sort of briefly there, but that's been one of my go-tos while we've been at home. How do you look back on it? I mean, it was just season after season of fantasticness, I felt anyway.
It was one of the happiest times of my life. The four of us got on so ridiculously well, and I know a lot was written about it, but I promise it's all true. We laughed from the minute we got into the makeup room in the morning until we wrapped at night. We just didn't stop laughing. I mean, they are all three of them very badly behaved, I have to say. And
so we're talking Dennis Waterman, aren't we? Sheila Hancock.
Oh, no, yeah, no, I wasn't including Sheila. I wasn't including Sheila.
Oh, you weren't including Sheila. Dennis,
James Bolan, Alan Armstrong.
Alan, yeah.
And Sheila played my mother. Sheila wasn't badly behaved, but those three boys were. And so every single day, it was like herding cats. But they made me laugh so much. And they went out of their way to make me laugh and get me into trouble all the time.
Have you got any little anecdotes you can share with us?
Well, whenever you do that, they're never sort of funny. But I had to do a lot of scenes where I was standing in front of a whiteboard and I'm explaining the crime of the week. Lots of names and photographs and, you know, it was quite complicated. And they would all sit there with their backs to the camera, so only I could see their faces. And you wouldn't believe what they did to make me laugh. And so we had to stop filming. And I mean, the times that we did that, we had to stop because my makeup was pouring down my face because I'd laughed so much. And they would get very cross with me, the producers and directors.
New Tricks ran for 12 seasons. You left in 2012. How tough a decision as an actor was it to walk away from such a successful series?
It was pretty tough. Up until that point, I'd always said I wouldn't ever want to be in such a long-running series. But the thing with New Tricks is that each time we talked to each other and said, oh, should we pack it in now? We just couldn't bear to, because we just loved each other so much and had such a wonderful time, it was really difficult to walk away. And it was Jimmy Bolam who made the break first. And he was great because he kept saying to me, you've got to stop now, you've got to stop. And I listened to him. But it was hard. Yeah, it was very hard. And on the last day, my last day, I was so emotional. We all were. It was really quite difficult.
And presumably you'd all become great mates at that point. So did you stay in touch afterwards?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. We're all in touch. And we all just, because we just liked each other as human beings. And so we socialized a lot with each other's families. It just became a way of life for all those years, for 10 years that I was in it.
When you left, did you have something already lined up, or were you sort of a jobbing actor then and looking for the next big project?
I didn't have anything lined up when I left, but I think it was only about a week later that I was offered Not Like That, Like This, which was the biopic of Tommy Cooper starring David Threlfall. And that script arrived and I just read it, and it took me such a short time to read it. It was so good. And I phoned my agent and I said, that's a very big yes from me. I really want to do that.
And it was a very big yes from BAFTA. You were nominated for a BAFTA for portraying Tommy Cooper's wife, Gwen, weren't you?
Yes.
How interesting a project that must have been to research, I would imagine, Amanda, and to try and sort of get into her mind.
It's very hard. I mean, I played Diana Dawes. It's the only other real person I've played. When I say that, by which I mean where people are alive today who knew them. So you have to be very careful. Because, you know, there are people out there who knew these ladies, and you can't ever do an impression. You shouldn't do that. I just tried to get in under her skin and try to understand her as much as I could with the limited footage that I had and the limited research materials available.
And I imagine it must have been quite difficult, because this attracted a lot of criticism at the time from Tommy Cooper's own daughter, didn't it? I mean, the subject matter was perhaps hard if you were a family member to take and to see on the small screen.
Yes, I think, you know, it's one thing of when she approved the script, but I think to actually see it, then I think that probably must have been quite hard.
Do you still do theatre, Amanda? Do you still have time for the theatre?
I haven't done theatre for a while, but I love theatre, and, you know, it's not something that I wouldn't do. It's just whether something comes along that I want to do, really.
And do you feel, are you at the time of that your career now where you can sort of be a bit choosy? You know, you've been a very hard-working actress from very early on, and is it nice to sit back and sort of be more considered than perhaps one can do as a younger actress?
Yes. I mean, I've been lucky in that I have been able to pick and choose for many years now, and that is very important. And when you get to my age, you don't want to do anything that you don't believe in. But when you're young, you should do everything because you're learning so much. So, yeah, I'm in a very fortunate position.
I know that you're passionate about the drama school that you run. I think it's really lovely that you're handing on some of the wealth of knowledge that you've picked up so far in your career. We're all still learning, of course, all the time, aren't we?
But of course, yeah.
It must be great for those youngsters to have somebody who's got so much experience and done so many different and exciting projects. How big and an important part of your life is the Artists Theatre School?
It's exceedingly important. It's something that I love with all my heart. I care about my students enormously. I try to have it to sort out whatever contract I have. I try to sort it, if I'm in the country, that is, that I can always go there on the Saturday that we run the classes. For the last 20 odd years, I have directed a show every year. I put my heart and soul into that. I love it.
You've had one of your students living with you, haven't you, during the lockdown?
Yes, bless her heart. She didn't have anywhere to go, because her flatmate had decided to go back home and she couldn't afford the rent of their place on her own. So we said, well, you're very welcome to come and stay with us. And then lockdown happened. So she's been, poor girl's been stuck here all this time.
Oh, I'm sure she doesn't feel like that. And how have you managed in lockdown? What have you been up to, Amanda?
Well, I work out every single day. And then Susie, that's my drama student, and I go out on a long walk every day. And then come home and do a lot of cooking. And I've also sorted the whole house out. It's completely organised to within an inch of its life. But now I'm running out of things to do.
Don't worry, we're getting there now, not too long now. And women listening to this would forgive me for not asking, Amanda, but what is the secret looks-wise? I mean, you just haven't really aged over the years. You're very beautiful, and it doesn't surprise me that you...
Oh, that's very kind.
It doesn't surprise me that you work out every day. I thought there was going to be a quicker fix than that. It takes effort, doesn't it, as we get older?
It certainly does, and I hate it. I hate every single minute of it. I'm not I'm not a natural.
Do you?
Oh, I can't stand it. Mm. Yeah, find it so boring. But we've got a little gym and I watch old movies and that sort of, that gets me going on the treadmill and the cross trainer. I suppose my mum had great skin right up to the time she died. So I think I've probably been very lucky with her genes in that respect.
Do you get frustrated, though, by the ageing process? I've hit a certain age and I certainly get really frustrated and it just feels like everything takes so much more effort.
Oh, it does. You know, if you want to lose a couple of pounds, whereas before, you know, if I went at it hard for a week, it would be gone. Now, it takes months. I find nothing great about getting older, I have to say. I have to be really honest about that. And I know I get shot down in flames for saying it, but I'm afraid that's how I feel.
No, I don't blame you. I think it's hard. It's hard for men as well, I'm sure, but I do think it's quite hard for women. Men get older and greyer and wiser, and we just spend our time hiding our grey and trying to be as wrinkle-free as possible. What else do you do, Amanda, when you're not working? Because I know, obviously, it's been a slow time now because of the virus. What else do you do for pleasure? Do you have any nice hobbies that you enjoy?
Actually, I'm normally working, so I don't really have enough time to have hobbies. You know, this enforcement has sort of made me really think about what perhaps I should think of taking up, because I don't have any hobbies apart from the drama school is my only thing that I do outside of my work.
And work-wise, have you got things lined up now for the autumn and the coming months?
Well, everything's lined up, but there are no guarantees because nobody knows when or if we can get back to normal.
But hopefully you'll be back on our screens soon, I hope, when filming gets going again. Oh, I hope so. Now, on the personal front, you're married to Damien, who's been your head of IT for us today. Didn't Sheila Hancock say he's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
She did. She did. She said that to my mother and father-in-law, actually. They went to see her in Sister Act in the West End, and then she very kindly invited them backstage for a drink afterwards. And she told them, she said, I think Damien's been the best thing that's ever happened to her. I thought was lovely.
That's a lovely thing. I read in an article that you wrote a while ago that he's 14 years younger than you, but you said he's the more sensible of the two in the relationship. Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, she says, definitely.
Oh, yeah, he's the grown-up. I'm the child. That's absolutely, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, yeah. No, he keeps me on the straight and narrow, keeps my feet firmly on the ground, which I need.
Oh, I think we all need a bit of that. And you've got a lovely close relationship with your daughter, Emily, haven't you? Who's grown up
yes.
now. I remember seeing pictures of her a little girl, but she's a proper
yes,
grown up now.
She is. She's 32 now. So, yeah, she is grown up. But except I don't think of her like that. You know, somebody described her the other day to me and she said, oh, what a lovely woman she is. I said, woman? Goodness, not a woman. She's a girl, a little girl.
Well, Amanda, it's lovely to chat to you today. I hope that Good
Karma
Hospital will be back for series 4. Any hints on that? Is there a series 4, do you think?
Well, we were supposed to be flying out in a couple of weeks, which of course we can't now do. So hopefully it'll be at the beginning of next year is what they're talking about.
Well, that'll be something nice to look forward to on the horizon, I imagine.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that was actress Amanda Redman chatting about her life and career. Thanks very much for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed today's chat as much as I have. Please do feel free to share it with your friends. The Convex Conversation is at convex.podbean.com. We're on Spotify and Apple and Google Podcasts. I'll be back next week. Bye for now.